Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Got a few seconds left before we get started. All right, let's get into prayer, and we're going to get right into the Word. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. We're going to rejoice, O Lord, and we're going to be glad in it. We're going to show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We thank you for our apostle. We thank you for apostolic government, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that each student is receiving and getting everything they need, Lord God, that they may be fully equipped, Lord God, to go out and to do the work of the ministry, Lord God. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for what you're doing by your Spirit. And we thank you, Lord God, that you placed us here, Lord God, under this mantle, under this apostolic anointing for such a time as this. Lord God, we could have been anywhere else. Our man of God could have been anywhere else. But Lord God, you connected us and placed us here in Darrell for such a time as this, Lord God. Hallelujah. And the half has not been told. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. It's such a blessing. It is such a blessing. You know, when you think of the priceless privilege that we have to sit under such an anointed man of God, under such a strong apostolic anointing, it's just, it's actually, for me, it's humbling. It's humbling, you know. Never take that for granted. Never take that for granted. It really, when we have a meeting like the Prosperity Revival or the camp meetings, and I see people come from out of town and other states, and they come and they grasp it, and they latch on. There's this one lady. I never forget, Friday evening, we were leaving the church. I'd walked out, I'd held the door open for her, and before she crossed over to go outside, she just yelled, "I don't want to leave! I don't want to leave!" You know, I said, "Wow." You know, she said, you know, she said, "But I'm coming back, and I'm coming back to stay." You know, but it moved me, because, you know, they know they can't get this everywhere, you know, and we get it week after week, you know, Sunday and Wednesdays and school of ministry. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. Never take an anointing for granted. Amen. Especially such as this. Amen. What we're going to do today, we're going to be talking about honoring power structures. We'll get into that a little bit, but since I know that next week is actually going to be exam week, if I'm not mistaken, we're gonna do some reviewing, since we had the week off last week, which was Prosperity Revival, and it's been almost 2 weeks since we met. We're going to definitely get into some reviews. All right, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans, the 13th chapter. Romans 13th chapter, right quick. All right, Romans 13th chapter, and we're going to be looking at verse 1. We're going to be reading down from verse 1. And I'm also read a little bit in the Message Bible, but I want to set a precedent from the King James so we all could be on one accord. Romans 13 and 1. It says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." So every power, every authority is originated and ordained by God. "Whosoever therefore resisted the power or the authority resist the ordinance of God. They that resist shall receive to themselves damnation." Then it goes on to say in verse 3, "For rulers are not a terror to good works." In other words, people who've been placed in authority as police officers and what have you, and civil people who are in civil court, people in authority, they were not placed there. They're not a terror to good works, or those people who do good, but to the evil. "Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For they are ministers of God." God has placed power structure in order, and he set it up because they're ministers for our good, so that they can be peace and order in the land. And there's what is known as also the law of double reference. That's talking a lot in the area of municipalities and powers and power structure in a secular or civil, you know, with police officers, judges, lawyers, and what have you. But it also is referring to spiritual order. You know, in God's government, we know there's apostles, there's prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And that's God's government. And there's order in the kingdom of God. God is a God of order. So I'm going to stop right there. And let me read a little bit now from the Amplified Bible. I just said this right here because I don't have space. This is what the Amplified Bible says. It's Romans 13:1. It says, let every person be loyally subjected to the governing civil authorities, for there is no authority except from God. By his permission, his sanction, and those that exist do exist by God's appointment. Verse 2, therefore, he who resists and sets himself up against the authority resists what God has appointed and arranged in divine order. And those who resist will bring to them bring judgment upon themselves and receive the penalty due them. Then he goes on and says in verse 3, for civil authorities are not a terror of people of good conduct, but to those who behave badly. Would you have not dread of him who is an authority? Then do what is right, and you will receive the approval and the condemnation commendation. And so basically, you know, there's power structures that are set up. And that's what I want to point out, power structures. And it's so very important that we know the power structure or the divine order of God from a natural point of view, but even more so from a spiritual point of view. Because when I'm around, take for instance last week, we have had all the master vision bearers for LTMA. I respect them as spiritual authority. I honor them as men and women of God who've been appointed by the apostle, placed over to kind of help oversee LTMA, other ministers, to help govern and help keep the what I would call the brotherhood or the alliance of honorable men of LTMA solid and intact. So there's honor there, and I respect. And you see, the thing about it, one of the things that was brought out in one of the teachings during the day sessions, that LTMA was one of the strongest organizations of its kind in the world. You know, I mean, I haven't been a part of others, but I've been around other great organizations, but I have not seen the structure, the order, the protocol, the honor that is $500,000 plus. Come on. You don't see that everywhere. You know, that's honor personified. You know, this past summer, over $1 million+ sown into our apostle. That's honor. That's you can't say it any other way. That's honor. You know, and what I want us to understand that we're a part of this. You know, every seed that we sowed went into that. So we have over $1.5 million this year sown into anointed Saul. So I mean, we can't help but get a harvest from the seeds that were sown. You know, hey, that's I can't say it enough. You know, and God placed us here for such a time as this. All right. Verse 7 says, I'm going to read it from the Amplified. It says, render to all men their dues or what is owed them. Pay taxes to whom taxes is due. Revenue to whom revenue is due. Respect to whom respect is due. And honor to whom honor is due. We're talking about honoring power structures. Amen. We are obligated to give tribute to whom tribute is due. Tribute means taxes, paying your taxes, obeying civil and judicial laws of the land. That's paying tribute. custom. We are obligated to pay, to give custom to whom custom is due. Custom means to respect, a respect for the customs or the rituals or the practices of a region or our country. Give you a good illustration of a custom. Because you see, when you dishonor the custom that's in a land, the author, the premise he's coming from in the book is ministries that's going abroad and ministering in other countries. And he's talking about, you know, when you're traveling as an evangelist as an itinerant pastor, you want to give custom to whom custom is due in that land. And I might have shared this before. I have a cousin. For years, he worked in Saudi Arabia. And I remember him telling me, he said, as long as they were on what is known as like an American compound, which is kind of similar to a U.S. embassy, but that you could, you know, women could wear whatever they wore in America on that compound, okay? But the minute you stepped off that compound and got on Saudi Arabian soil, a black woman probably wouldn't like this, but you had to walk behind your husband. You had to cover your hair, you know? You had to follow the customs, because if you didn't do that, you were dishonoring the customs of that country, you know? And you see, when you dishonor, I'm going to use this because this, I think, is a good illustration. When you dishonor their customs, even though you might have great anointing and great power, God's used you, you're not going to be received. Because you're disrespecting them. You're disrespecting the customs that's in the land. And that's why it says, to custom, to whom custom is due. You know, Paul said, you know, to the Greek I became a Greek, to the Jew I became a Jew, that by any means I might win some. You know, so it's when even when you go to a church, another denomination, you know, find out who has rank, who's the pastor, who you need to submit to, and understand the protocol that's taking place, so you don't, you know, you don't violate their customs or their traditions or their rituals. Because if you go in there to minister, you want the word that is coming forth out of your mouth to be unhindered, and you don't want people looking at you funny because you have dishonored their customs, their rituals, or their, you know, and what the author says, as long as their customs or their rituals don't violate spiritual law. You know, I mean, if it's something that they're doing that totally violates the word of God, well, that's where we draw the line. But if it's just a custom that they do, we want to honor that so that, you know, so that we can be received, that the word of God can be received, and that people can be delivered. Amen? All right. Also, it says we're obligated to give fear to whom fear is due. That word fear doesn't mean, and we've talked about it before, doesn't mean to be afraid, you know, Halloween type of afraid, even though we don't celebrate Halloween, you know. But just give you an illustration. But a fearfulness, it means a reverential. When you reverence something, you respect it and you honor it, you have awe towards it. You know, our God is a consuming fire, you know. I'm going to give you a good illustration. Whenever I'm in the pulpit for any reason, I have a tremendous amount of reverence, a tremendous amount of fear, you know, a reverential fear, because I'm saying this pulpit is the pulpit of an apostle. You know, Lord, I want to be like a barefooted priest behind this pulpit. I don't want to say or do anything out of order, out of turn, because there's a great anointing upon this house, upon this region, and you want to make sure that you flow with that, and that's anywhere. If there's been times I've had to go and speak on behalf of the apostle for members who had loved ones who went home to be with the Lord, I will not go into any ministers' pulpit without them giving me the right hand of fellowship. I just won't do it. I'll stop. If they beckon me to come forward, I'll stop at the step. And then when they say, come on forward and point to a seat, I'll walk. Because it's out of respect. And I've noticed when I would do stuff like that, you know, being reverence and respectful to those who are in authority all of a sudden now they'll say, I want you to do the opening prayer. Never seen me before. Don't know who I am, you know. But because you respected them, and, you know, you see, when you give honor, honor is going to be reciprocated, you know, and that's so very important. So the more you sow honor, the more you're going to receive honor, you know. So and that's just the way it is. And, you know, we need to conduct ourselves accordingly. Also, too, the last one is we are obligated to give honor to whom honor is due. I'm going to say this. Anytime you go into any place or any region of the world and you have tremendous, it's kind of like what I said, tremendous anointing, but if you dishonor the land, the land is their country. If you dishonor the people, which is their culture, and if you dishonor their customs in that country, your anointing will go all the way down. It's going to be, it's almost like somebody pouring water over you, because it'll not be received the way it should have been received. So it's so very important that we honor the land, the people, and the customs, so that our ministry and what we're saying is going to be well received. Amen. Whenever a dignitary is traveling to another country, our president right now, he's in I guess it's South Korea and places where he's going, China. Whenever a dignitary is traveling to another country, they request permission from the prime minister or the emperor or the queen. You know, we're planning on coming to your country. You know, I'm requesting permission to come, you know, because I'm in authority and you're in authority. And I want to make sure that I conduct myself, and I'm just not coming. Even if you, you know, just as a regular citizen, if you ever been to a foreign country, once you get off the plane, you just can't walk on their country, on their soil. You have to go through what is known as customs. Why? Because they want to make sure that you're not bringing nothing to in their country that they don't allow. And they want to know why are you here on pleasure or are you here on business? They ask you that. You know, they look at your passport. That passport tells them that you are a legal citizen of this United States and that you're in good standing, because this country will not give you a passport if you're a criminal. Right. You know, you're not going to get it, you know. So, I mean, that's customs, you know. And I wanted to kind of bring that out so you can kind of relate when you say customs, you know, custom to whom custom is due. Because it's all about honor. Everything we do, believe it or not, has an honor element to it. Everything we do has some kind of an honor element. And when you can point it out or see it, then you can now function in it a whole lot better. I'm going to give you an illustration. We had a student. She's probably watching right now. She's in this class. And she came up to me like the second or the third night, and she apologized to me. Said, Reverend Cowan, I'm so sorry. I didn't do well on my exam. And I thought she meant a quiz. I said, well, the quizzes, you know, don't count against you. I said, she said, no, it was an exam. And she said, I'm going to do better next time. And I just apologize to you. And I would just move with compassion, you know. And so when I'm studying and I wanted to move on with something, the Lord said, I want you to review everything from the last couple of classes so you can make sure everybody understands and be ready for the quiz. So what we're going to do, we're going to review in a few minutes, you know, because, you know, one of the things I want you to have, because it's really not about me. I've learned that so many years ago. But what I want each and every student and even myself and everybody included to be able to receive from the apostle, because when you honor properly, you're going to receive in a greater capacity, because your gift will make room for you. When you sow into the anointing, your gift, the honor that you present, Dr. Phil is a perfect example. Not that other people aren't, but he's just a perfect example. Gift makes room for you. It'll make room for you, and it'll bring you before great people, you know, when you honor properly. Amen? All right, let me move on. When you honor the laws of the land, you are giving tribute. Now, tribute is honoring, like I said, the tax structure, the governmental system of that land. When you honor the laws of the land, you're giving tribute, because whenever, whatever country you are in, you become subject to the tax structure, the governmental structure. You become a part of that. So you have to honor and respect that. Amen? All right, let me move on. Hebrews 13 and 11 says that we are to obey them that have the rule over us and submit ourselves, for they watch for our souls. Now that's talking from the law of double reverence against. Now we want to obey the law enforcement because they're watching, they're protecting us. But at the same time, you know, we want to obey spiritual authority even more so, because our pastors, you know, our apostle, they're watching over our souls, and they want to have to give an account with joy, that scripture says. You know, they want to give a joyful account. I give you probably one of the most humbling examples of that. Well, two of them. One of them is one of the instructors passed out, died in the service. You know, the apostle never stopped ministering. And he says, I need Reverend John Davis. I need him. He's valuable to me. Eyes pop right back open. I saw it with my own eyes. You know, another brother had a heart attack, several heart attacks, you know, valuable to the ministry, you know. You know, because, you see, when you honor properly and you become, I always tell people, you want to make yourself valuable to God. And one of the key ways to make yourself valuable to God is to make yourself valuable to the pastor, the apostle, or whoever God has placed you under. You know, because what happens now is you actually now are aligning up with an agenda. And it's not your agenda, it's God's agenda. You know, but you make it your agenda by submitting and aligning yourself up properly. You know, and I use the illustration about Aaron a lot. You know, Aaron was the high priest, and the Bible talks about how the oil ran down Aaron's head and ran down his beard and ran down the skirt of his garment all the way down to his feet, you know, and let his body represent the body of Christ. So every part of that body, every part of the body of Christ that's aligned properly is going to get some oil, you know. Just like oil flows through every part of your engine to lubricate it. Well, you see, when you're in proper alignment with God spiritually, you're going to get the anointing oil of the Holy Spirit upon your life to do whatever God's called you to do. If you work in the ministry, if you in the ministry of helps, if you're a singer, if you're a greeter, if you, you know, prison ministry, or whatever God's called you to do, when you align yourself properly, you know, you're going to go straight and you're going to follow that agenda. You see, but a car that's out of alignment, the minute you take your hands off the wheel, it's going straight in the ditch. I'll never forget, matter of fact, this brother, he's a member now, but years ago when we were in school, he had an old, I don't know, was it a van or whatever, but I drove it somewhere, and I took my hand off the wheel for about a half a second. I thought I was headed straight for the ditch. I said, man, you need to get this car aligned or some new tires, because it's going where it want to go, you know. But you see, but when a person is out of alignment, they're going to go where they want to go. They're not going to follow the agenda, you know. So it's so very important to be aligned. Amen. Let me move on. I just want to touch some high points, and then we're going to review. Honor the people of the land. Respect their culture. Show honor to the people of the of whatever country that's giving custom to whom custom is due. Now we're going to talk a little bit about custom, you know, giving custom. If their customs and culture don't violate the requirements, you know, of life and what's in the Word of God, we want to honor their customs. You know, and I'm not going to get into that a whole lot because we talked about it. But you want to honor the people of the land and respect their culture. Show honor to the people of that country. That's giving custom to whom custom is due. Okay, now let's get into a little bit about the fear part. Anyway, I said that meant reverence, a reverential fear. Fear is honoring the ranks, the spiritual dignitaries of the land. Not only just spiritual, but even also, you know, civil. You know, mayors, lawyers, judges, presidents, you honor them, okay? And then from a spiritual aspect, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Fear is honoring the ranks, the spiritual dignitaries of the land, apostles and prophets of that land, the apostolic voice of that region, knowing who there has rank in that region, so that you don't violate the ranks and you don't dishonor and you don't walk out of protocol. You know, like I mentioned earlier, when a president leaves this country and goes somewhere else, out of honor and respect, they notify that country, they make preparations, that other country gets prepared to receive them. And there's a welcome ceremony, there's, you know, what is known as pomp and circumstance, whenever you go to visit the queen, and it's a ceremony, you know, but it's honoring dignitary to dignitary. It's really a dishonor when a man of God, you have an anointing or an apostle over a region, and then somebody comes in who is an evangelist, and they're going to set up shop down the street without letting you know that I'm going to be in the area ministering, you know, because, I mean, I may be ministering to some of your people who come to the meeting, you know, but it's what Bishop Tudor Bismarck states is that it's a good idea to let him know, find out who in that region has rank, who God has appointed as an apostolic voice in that region. Go to him and say, look, or send word that we're looking at doing a meeting in your area, you know. And actually, you're really asking for permission, what you're doing, you know. And that's just proper, you know. And you want his blessing, but at the same time, you also sow a seed. You know, he said it's a good idea that every now and then when you're in a region where there's an apostolic anointing or somebody who has higher rank than you, just to drop by and sow a seed. Let them know. You know, that's just honor. They do it, like I said, and you see, for so long, we see it done on TV. We see it, you know, like I said, our president now, he's in China. He's, you know, traveling the Middle East or wherever. But it's done with the dignity and the honor that it should be done with. And that's anytime something like that takes place. Well, we in spiritual circles need to step to the plate. You know, whenever our apostle has a special meeting, it blesses me when churches in the region that are submitted to the apostle shut their churches down and tell their members, I'll see you Thursday or whatever night the special meeting is at Word of Life. That's just proper. You know, when the apostle has a meeting, you know, our prison ministry is shut down. You know, if you want to go to the meeting, because I don't want to be held in contempt that I sent somebody out to minister while the apostle was ministering. That ain't going to happen, you know, but that's honor. That's honor, you know, giving honor to whom honor is due. All right, with about 20 minutes left, what I'm going to do now, we're going to do some reviewing, get you guys ready for a test coming up. All right, and we're going to kind of talk about some of the same things we just talked about. Well, let's see. Okay, remember we talked about pride, and we said pride was the word what? Anybody remember? Leviathan, okay? Pride, arrogance, and haughtiness are defined as the spirit of Leviathan. Pride, arrogance, and haughtiness are all defined as the spirit of Leviathan. And the main thing you want to know about Leviathan is that it's basically the root of all sin. You know, when Lucifer sinned, his heart was lifted up because of pride, you know, and pride, arrogance, and haughtiness is defined as the spirit of Leviathan. Okay, what is pride? I want to stick with what the author says. If you're not operating in pride, pride is an unreasonable and an unjustifiable sense of one's self-worth. If you're not the one operating in pride, because you see it as being unreasonable and unjustifiable for somebody to operate like that. But a person who's walking in pride, they think it's reasonable and justifiable. It's a reasonable, justifiable sense of their self-worth, living for self, or a sense of being better than others and exercising a self-esteem, you know, excessive self-esteem is pride. So it's a reasonable and justifiable sense of one's self-worth or position, living for self. Remember I talked about a person who operated in pride. Everything is I. You know, it's all about me. That's pride, you know. And the Bible says pride goes before the fall. Amen. All right, let's move on. The spirit of pride, okay. And I just talked about this. When did the spirit of pride come into existence? Yeah, that's the first evidence in the Bible that we see where he was lifted up with pride. When he tried to exalt his throne against the throne of God, his heart was lifted up with pride. And from that point on, people have been struggling and dealing with pride. You know, it hurts me. Oh, it hurts me when I see gifted, anointed men and women get wrapped up and entangled with pride. But it blesses me when I see somebody who probably had it, but then they drop that excess baggage and they get delivered from it. I was talking to a man this past week, and I looked at him, and I said, "Man, I said you dropped off some bags." I said, you look lighter, you feel free. I could tell, I could see it on you. He said, "Yeah, I'm free. You know, because he was having some pride issues, and I knew it, and he knew it. We both knew it because we talked about it, but he wouldn't let go of it. You know, I'm just telling you how it is, you know. And I told him, I said, you're not going to advance anymore until you deal with this. You know, you got to go to certain people and let them know, I'm sorry, forgive me. Matter of fact, I was telling him this, and he kind of started saying, "Yeah, I'm free." And then he started talking, and I let him talk. And then the next night he came to me and said, "Brother Calhoun, I need to ask for your forgiveness." I said, "For what?" He said, "You was trying to tell me something last night, and I interrupted you." I said, "Well, I got it out. I said, I just told you that you cut loose some baggage, and I could see a difference in you. You're free. You're walking with a sense of freedom. You know, I don't see that those same strings that was attached to you like they were before. You know, but he just wanted to make sure. You know, but then on the other hand, I see people who they get tangled up. They strife, bitterness, you know, envy, jealousy, or whatever gets a hold of them. And then pride comes and wraps itself intertwined with all that. And then they get sidetracked and they fall off the truck or the horse or whatever they was riding, whatever alignment they was in, they get out of alignment. I was talking to a man a couple of weeks ago who came back and visited. And I remember very, very clearly, I'm going to try to finish this review. But I was asked by delegated authority to set him down because of some marital situations he was going through, that he needed to go ahead and handle it and handle his business before he do the work of God, you know, go out and minister. You know, you got to know how to rule your house well, the Bible says. You know, so the person who I was over said, "Brother Calhoun, I can set him down, or you can set him down." I said, "Well, since he's under me, I'll do it." So I said, well, he and I went out to a restaurant. We talked, and I told him, I said, "I'm going to need to set you down until you get things straight between your family and get you know, the situation under control." And I said, I was instructed by, and then he just went off. "They didn't hear my side. They blah, 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 blah." You know, just defensive. Instead of taking the correction and learning from it and moving on, you know, every now and then I'll see him. He'll come back to visit. But last time he came back, I looked at him and I said, you know, this is headquarters for you. What you mean? I said, you know, this is where you need to be. Well, you know, everybody got a season. I said, no, you got out of season, you know. But you see, here again, now this what I'm talking to you about is 12 years in the making since it happened, at least, you know, and won't let go of it. Not could be a whole lot more productive. And I know that spiritually. I know that, you know. I mean, because he was like a right-hand man. Everything I needed him to do, he was there, you know. But pride, you know. And that's why a lot of this is kind of personal, because I see it in people, you know. I remember, I'm going to say this and I'm going to try to move on. I remember another person. They got shipwrecked and sidetracked and fell off the horse, but they were still here. And I'm talking anointed individual. I mean, just flat out anointed, could minister, teach flat out. And I approached the lady, and I asked her, I said, I've been praying about you getting involved in prison ministry, because I knew, you know, it's kind of like if you ever been in gymnastics or some sport and you injure yourself or hurt yourself, you know, or you fall off a horse, you gotta get back on there. Because if you don't get back on there, fear starts to get, you know, you get apprehensive. Because I used to be really good in gymnastics, and I was doing a flip, and I landed bad, and I never did. I said, I'm leaving that alone. But anyway, I was talking with her, and she kept telling me, I'm gonna see what the Lord says. And every time I would see her, I look at her, and she says, the Lord hadn't told me nothing yet. Now you're a part of this ministry, you know, and I'm trying to get you back up in the saddle. You know, and I mean, every time, I'd see her, she'd be further and further back in the pews, you know. And then some days you wouldn't see her, then some days she'd be there. Next thing you know, don't see them no more. Saw her and her husband a couple of years ago at a presentation my son was at. And one of the first things I asked, I said, have you been doing any ministry since you left? Hurts me, you know. You know, but see, pride will do that to you, you know. And that's why it's so important that you have to be in alignment with where God's called you to be. Okay, let me move on. Okay. The number one way to defeat the spirit of pride is to walk in humility. To defeat the spirit of pride in our lives, we must walk in humility through the grace, anointing given us, and not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. All right? Proverbs 18 and 12 was another important scripture that we talked about in the last several weeks. It says that before destruction, the heart is haughty. In other words, destruction comes before the fall. I mean, before there's you destroy yourself, your heart's going to be haughty, you know. And before honor, there is humility, you know. Before you're honored, you're going to walk in humility. And one of the things I said about humility is simply submitting yourself to the will of God. Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth, but he led the children of Israel out of Egypt because he submitted himself to God, and he did what thus said the Lord. Even when Miriam tried to sidetrack him, God says, I talked to Moses mouth to mouth. Who are you to come against me and Moses or come against Moses because of who he married? You know, but humility, you know, before destruction, the heart is halted. And before honor is humility. A major problem in Christian leaders is a lack of submission to authority. You know, a major problem with a lot of Christian leaders, you know, but we're eradicating that. You know, but because we're learning how to submit properly and how to serve properly. A major problem among Christian leaders and believers today is a lack of submission and service. They seek reasons not to serve or continually justify their lack of submission, especially if they have to serve under someone who they consider, who has less time in ministry than them. You know, somebody who's younger than them. You know, because they, spiritual years and chronological years don't always add up, you know, because somebody could grow up spiritually a whole lot quicker and you lollygagging around not growing spiritually. And now all of a sudden God promoted them and you say, well, you know, how could this be? Well, you didn't redeem the time. You know, you was out there doing something that you didn't need, had no business doing, and you weren't aligned properly, you know. Learn your lesson, you know. I always tell people, you know, there's no elevator to the top in spiritual things. You can't take the elevator to the top. Now, you can go to the Empire State Building. You can go to the, I don't think they call it the Sears Tower anymore, but, you know, any tall building, you can get a fast-track elevator all the way to the top. When I did go to the Sears Tower and the World Trade Center when it was standing, there was always an express elevator, and it just went up, you know, 40 floors in a matter of a minute or so. But there's no fast-track elevator in spiritual things. You got to take one step at a time. And if you skip a step, you're going to have to go back and take that step. You know, so don't try to, you know, like you're running upstairs and you're taking them. You know, you can't do that spiritually. You got to take it once, because on every step, there's going to be a lesson. There's going to be something that you're going to need to learn that's going to propel you. And so when the tests come, you're going to be ready for it, you know. I always like to learn from other people's mistakes, you know, I never forget, that's something I remember hearing Dr. Price say. He said, I'd rather learn from your mistakes than learn from mine, because if I see you make a mistake, well, I know I ain't trying that, you know, that ain't going to work, you know, you just, and that's why, you know, the Bible says, to watch and pray. I'm always watching and praying, you know, so if somebody mess up, I said, okay, I marked that. You don't approach the apostle like that, okay? You know, or whatever, you know. Watch and pray. Amen. Let's move on. Praise God. Hallelujah. The first way to become, or the first way to come against the spirit of dishonor is to sow a seed of honor. You know, if you sense or have walked in dishonor in some area. The one way to eradicate it and to come against it is to sow a seed of honor. So when you sow that seed of honor, you're canceling out dishonor. You know, the author later on in the book, he talks about this one son who got into a rift with his spiritual father. They separated and kind of went their own ways. And from that point on, his ministry just went down, 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 down. And he knew that he wasn't going to advance any further until he got it right. And he talked about how he when he got to his property, he got on his knees and he crawled on his knees. And when his father saw him, he said, son, you know, and he says, I come to forgive you. And he told him to stand up and hugged him and said, I forgive you. You know, you see, a father, a genuine father, wants their sons and daughters to succeed, you know, but there's certain lessons, like I said, that's got to be learned, and it's so very important that we walk humbly in humility and obedience and submission to the men and the women of God that God has placed us under. You know, so that we can get all the spiritual nutrients we need to fulfill the mission and the assignment God has called us to do. Okay, we talked about six levels of honor. And there's, you know, honoring your parents. There's honoring the older people, you know, honoring fathers. But the first level of showing honor is you first must show honor to God. You know, that's first, numero uno. You first must show honor to God. When you show honor to God, show honor to the apostolic, you know, anointing that's in the land, or your apostolic leader, you know, pastors, you know. But first of all, you must honor God. All right, let's move on. We talked about how in ministry that there should be no inappropriate behavior, no sex sins, no blatant sex sins, no, you know, we need to conduct ourselves, because that's a dishonor to God when we as men and women of God are not conduct, because one of the things I've learned, and it always gets confirmed in every instance. This gentleman, this past week, he came up to me, he was talking to me, and he knew me by name. He said, it's like we know you guys. We see you guys on the internet every Wednesday, every Sunday, and you know, we feel a closeness even though we're thousands of miles away. And something the Lord told me years ago, he says, people, listen, this is just not for me, it's for all of us. When you're operating in any capacity of ministry, people are watching you. They're watching your behavior. They're watching you to see how you respond, how you react, how you submit, you know. So you always want to be an example of a believer in word and in deed, you know. And like I said, there should be no inappropriate behavior, you know, no blatant sex sins, because that's a total, the author says, that's a total dishonor to God. And you're going to reap a harvest of catastrophe. I'm not going to go into that, because I know people who did and who's going through it now. A harvest of catastrophe, you know. Because the curse causing shall not come. There's always a reason. And you don't want to be on the back end of that. Amen. Let's leave it alone. All right, let's move on. In a situation where a spiritual father becomes uncovered. You remember the situation with Noah? He built a vineyard and he drank of the wine of that vineyard, and he became intoxicated. And one of his sons saw him, and then now... He goes and he tells his brother, but the author says he did it in a kind of facetious, you know, kind of, you know, tattletale, you know, laughing about it, you know, daddy in there drunk and naked. But the other two brothers backed up with a sheet, and they covered their father's nakedness. What we want to cover or come away from that is that in a situation when the father uncovers himself and falls into sin, the son now must not speak badly about the father, because if you speak badly about the dishonor, because if you do, then the same curse, the same dishonor, and the same sin. And I've seen it before, where men of God, young ministers, were submitted to a man of God who fell, and they, instead of covering him, they talked about him. They dishonored. And I've seen the exact same thing fall upon them. Why? Because of dishonor. You know, so you don't want to do that. You don't. One of the things the apostle said, and I stated this a while back. I can see I'm not going to finish all, but we covered as many as we could. I got too many examples. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me do one more. Showing fear or reverence to those God has placed in authority is showing honor to the dignitaries of the land. We want to show fear or reverence to those dignitaries, those who are in spiritual authority. Knowing the ranks that God has set in a place, in a particular region, is so important that we don't dishonor, you know, those, that authority that God has set in place. You know, you know, like I said, when I go into a church, or if I'm put on an assignment, I always find out who has rank, or who I need to be submitting to, you know. And no matter who, even in ministry, I had to give you a good illustration, and got about 46 seconds. Wednesday was Matriarch's Night. He had some members who didn't show up. You know, apostle said, I need to know how many ushers, how many greeters, how many people didn't. And so I'm thinking about, you know, people I'm under. And so he didn't say this. And then all of a sudden, you know, the person I'm submitted to comes up to me and says, I need for you to check and find out how many prison ministers not here. So I sent out a text and people responded. But the point I want to bring away with that is honoring those who are in delegated authority. You know, because when the apostle says something and he delegates it, and if somebody comes to you and tell you that, you know, you need to do it, it's just as though the apostle said it. It has the same weight, it's no different. And I'm going to shut up because I'm 3 seconds over. Amen, because I know how to honor.